My brothers and sisters, as I said in the introduction, we have been celebrating the manifestation of God in the flesh. The nation of Israel beholds him there with the shepherds. The Gentiles behold him in the visitation of the Magi. It is a manifestation of God. And what we can celebrate is, all right, God has, he's taken our flesh upon himself. He is going to save us. This is awesome. We're going to be pulled up. We're going to be all of these things. And then today he does something incredibly humbling. He takes that flesh and he takes it into the waters of baptism. Now, to understand the significance of what Jesus is doing, we have to understand this sign of baptism, right? When God wanted to purify the world, he had Noah create an ark, and then he flooded the world in order to wash it clean. When God wanted to draw his people from slavery into freedom, he opened up the Red Sea and had his people march through the waters. Not only did they march through the waters, but the ones who enslaved them pursued them into the waters. And the waters closed in over them, swallowing up that which enslaved them. After 40 years in the desert, they finally enter into the promised land. And what do? The Ark of the Covenant, which possessed within it three things that point to Jesus. The manna from heaven, Jesus, the Word of God, through which we receive and have life. The budded rod of Aaron, Jesus, the high priest, the eternal priest, and the tablets of the law. Jesus, who, as the Word of God, will reveal the will of the Father to us. The eternal Word that goes forth from the mouth of God and does not return to him void. The three things in the Ark of the Covenant, all pointing to Jesus. And when the Ark of the Covenant enters the waters of the Jordan River, it goes first. The waters continue to flow south into the Dead Sea, and the waters back up to the north. And the whole nation of Israel passes through the waters of the Jordan River. But the Ark of the Covenant goes first, containing that which prefigured Jesus. What we see in the baptism of John, my brothers and sisters, is the people of Israel returning to the other side of the river. Returning to the other side of the river and then entering the waters where they meet John. And there in the midst of the river, they confess their failures to keep the covenant. John dunks them in the water, baptizing them in a baptism of repentance, acknowledging their sin. And then they come up and they go out on the side of the promised land. It was symbolic. It was acknowledgement. It was the people saying, I need a savior to be a part of my life because I have failed to be faithful to God's command and covenant. Those who were self-righteous, standing on the shore with arms crossed, not entering the waters. What are you doing, John? We don't need this. Why are you doing this? John was doing it to prepare the hearts of those people that acknowledged that they needed a savior so that their hearts would be ready to welcome the savior, the one that John points to, the one that I am not worthy to loosen the thong of his sandal. The Redeemer, the Goel, the one, the beloved who is coming after me, the one who will redeem his bride, Israel. But what Jesus does in entering the Jordan River, he is not there to confess sin, to confess failures of the law. He is the sinless one. But he shows to us the way. So Jesus takes upon himself our flesh, and he takes the flesh in his humility into the waters of the Jordan River, showing us that this will be the way in which we will have to humble ourselves. In embracing our flesh, Jesus brings it to the lowest place. Now, for many of us, it's like, Jesus, you embrace our flesh, bring it to the highest place. Save us, draw us up. But he is showing us that it is only through repentance and the humbling of ourself where we begin to not put our trust in the flesh, but that we put our trust in God. This is what he is revealing. He opens the way, just as the ark with the three things that symbolized him entered the waters and prepared the way for the nation of Israel to enter into the promised land. So Jesus enters into the Jordan River. Now, in entering into the Jordan River, he is looking to the future. He is looking to the cross. The second reading today in the first letter of John, he says that Jesus came, and the witness of Jesus is not just in water, not just by his baptism, but also by blood, by the cross. The baptism of Jesus in the Jordan prefigured the humbling of himself to the cross when he will shed his blood. And so the water and the blood both bear witness, as does the Spirit, who is present at both. In fact, the Spirit is present throughout. So we see the humbling of Jesus, the bringing low his flesh in a symbolic gesture of baptism, so that we who would be baptized not in a water of repentance, but baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of our sins, authentic, real forgiveness, we must humble ourselves and state our need for a Savior. We must humble ourselves and express that we cannot trust in our flesh. Our flesh will fail us. I think it's amazing. I work with a lot of young adults, and the only reason I could say this is because I'm older. Is when they sit before me and they're talking about things and they are shocked when their humanity fails them. And I look at them and I go, really? You're shocked by that? It's never happened before, Father. I'm like, I know. Someday you will not be shocked by the weakness of your flesh. My brothers and sisters, to enter in, to follow Jesus, we too must recognize where we have depended upon the flesh. There's no salvation in the flesh, my brothers and sisters, in what we are able to do in ourselves apart from Jesus. Saints are not people who had extraordinary gifts and talents. The saints of the church are people who extraordinarily depended upon the grace of Jesus Christ, who humbled themselves. It was not their humanity that made them saintly. It was their utter dependence upon Jesus Christ and the living out of their life in response to the redemption that they experienced. We get this notion wrong in our head, that the saints somehow were extraordinary human beings apart from grace, apart from redemption, that it was their humanity that they trusted in. It is exactly the opposite, my brothers and sisters. If you look at the readings and the writings of St. Paul, you recognize a great humbling that had to take place in Paul's life because he was so scrupulous about his observance of the law. And he believed everything and all was dependent upon his observance, that he would justify himself and save himself. And with one encounter with Jesus Christ, all of his life was flipped upside down. Because Jesus was revealed to him as his Savior. And Paul recognized his need for redemption. We too, my brothers and sisters. See, it's one thing if we grow up without the faith and we spend our whole life depending upon the things and scratching and clawing for meaning and existence and purpose and all of these things, and we see it fail over and over and over. And then all of a sudden, we come to understand Jesus and what he offers to us. It's an incredible, very clear contrast of depending upon the flesh and then depending upon our Lord and the Spirit. The problem is, for many of us, we entered the waters of baptism as an infant. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not a problem. But we can grow up and confuse our trust in ourselves and our trust in the Lord. That is why for us, conversion is so incredibly important. So that God can reveal to us in our life where we are actually trusting in him and where we are trusting in the world, in the flesh. I have a very concrete example to give. It's very raw. Last night I got a phone call at 2:30 in the morning. My phone was vibrating. Usually I don't wake up from my phone vibrating. But I woke up and it was someone from the young SPO, young adult community. She was calling from the hospital. She said, "Father, my sister just died. Can you come to the hospital?" I got there about 3:00 in the morning. Her 16-year-old sister, who had had special needs, that morning she was feeling stomach pains. And in her special needs, she could hardly express herself. She had to use a tablet to speak and do all these things and everything. 16 years of age. She died. Her flesh failed. No one in the family would point a finger at her and say, "You failed us. You've disappointed us." No one would do that. But her flesh gave up. It failed. My brothers and sisters, cannot put our trust in the flesh, or you will be constantly disappointed. I'm not asking you to be a pessimist, to imagine that every glass is half empty. What I'm asking you to is to be a realist. And the culture that comes to us by our Catholic theology about Jesus Christ is that the things of this world and the flesh we cannot trust in. We cannot put our hopes in. We must put our hope solidly upon Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. He is the way. And if we are to enter into the fullness of being a believer in Jesus Christ, we too must become skeptical of our flesh. And we must allow it to be humbled. For we too have to enter the waters of baptism. In the humbling of ourself, where we say, "Jesus, I have trusted in this my whole life. And it has been nothing but disappointing and failing me. I trust in you. I put my trust in you." political situation in the United States right now. How many people are being shaken? Is our trust in our political system being tested? A lot of people, what they thought was completely trust in our Lord is now being shaken. My brothers and sisters, we are invited to follow Jesus into the waters of baptism. We did it as infants. There we died with him so that we could experience new life. But as adults, we must walk into those waters of baptism. And we must tell the Lord that we need a Savior today. As the parts of my life are being revealed to me that I trust in the flesh, where I have trusted in the flesh, Lord, set me free by your grace. May I trust only in you. The beautiful thing is, my brothers and sisters, if we do this, if we follow Jesus, if we go through the door that he opens for us, this way of humility, the beautiful thing is, what happens? Jesus reveals that he is going to his death for you and for me. And all of a sudden, he is anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And the voice of the Father tears open the heavens and resounds, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." My brothers and sisters, when we enter those waters of baptism in humility, as adults, in our mind, as we recognize it happens in the confessional, it happens when we come here to Mass, it happens in our prayer, when God reveals where we have been depending upon ourselves, and we can repent from that and say, "Lord, help me, let me trust only in you." When we do that as adults, what happens? The grace of the Holy Spirit is present to us. When we follow Jesus, the same Holy Spirit is upon us. And we receive an identity as beloved sons and daughters of God. Now, what do we do with that identity? We act. Yes, my brothers and sisters, our actions are important. But our actions flow from humility and identity and repentance. From that place of humbling, then we respond, then our actions bear fruit, then we go forth in victory because we have been anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. The Spirit cries out within us, "Abba, Father." We know who we are, beloved sons and daughters of God, and our actions are not to earn his love. Our actions are not to deserve his love. Our actions are an expression to God of how grateful we are that we have been redeemed. It's the parable of the talents. You get 10, you get 5, you get 6, you get 3, you get 2. Everyone receives them. Now go forth and bear fruit. It is yours. Live in the gift that has been given to you. Go forth. The end of the Mass. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. That's what our actions become about. Giving God the glory, being fruitful, expressing our joy, and entering the waters. So the invitation today, my brothers and sisters, after all of these words I'm saying, follow Jesus into the waters. Humble yourself before God. Acknowledge your need for a Savior and a Redeemer. And if we follow him in, the heavens will be opened, my brothers and sisters. He has opened the way for us, and the gift of the Spirit will be ours. It has already been given to you in baptism. But to be made manifest in your life in humility, it will be yours. And then, spend our life glorifying the Lord. Not trusting in ourselves, not trusting in the flesh, but trusting in the Lord. Amen.